This feature of the Science News Radio Network is coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas. Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
And thanks again for joining us. So good to have you with us. We explore the exciting world of the business of emerging science. We cover lots of stuff, open innovation, nanotechnology. Today, we're going to be covering the privacy on your private networks. Yeah, your cell phone and stuff like that. You know, this has been a pretty big issue. And we've got a couple of really exciting guys with us today. One is Vincent Stridapan. He's Mobile Security R&D Program Manager for the Cybersecurity Division of the Department of Homeland Security and their Advanced Project Agency. Science and Technology is going to be speaking at the IEEE Homeland Security Technology Conference. That's May 9th, actually 10th, 11th, and 12th, really, at the Westin Hotel in Waltham, Massachusetts. More information on that at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. And you'll see a link there at the right-hand side of your screen, and you can click on that, and that will tell you all about the conference. And then in the second half of the program, we have Dr. Praveen Chipote. He's a research scientist at iLab Department of Computer Science College of Engineering in North Carolina, A&T State University in Greensboro. And he's going to kind of expand a little bit on his subject that he's going to be talking about at the Homeland Security Technology Conference, micro-community detection and vulnerability identification for large critical networks. Fascinating stuff. Oh, and at the end of the program, listener comments in the Voice of Reason and our fountain of useless information we have here in the second half of the program. Who is Joe Friday? And also a riveting story out of India on the coming of the next ice age. Really? And, of course, the end of the program, listener comments and the Voice of Reason. Some say that's their favorite part of the program. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. All right, we're going to go to the phones now, and we have Vincent Stridapan. He's the Mobile Security R&D Program Manager with the Cybersecurity Division at the Department of Homeland Security Science and Technology Directorate. Welcome to the program, Vincent.
Thank you for having me.
Now, your expertise is cybersecurity, and can you tell us some of the strides that are being made in cybersecurity?
So specifically in mobile security R&D, the cyber piece here, you're seeing there's a evolution of where we are currently deploying mobile devices to change how we do business. And you're seeing that, you know, we give you a device, we configure it, we manage it, and do policy enforcement. So we try to give employees, you know, our mission owners, technology today to better enable them to complete the mission. And so in cybersecurity, that's all about ensuring the confidentiality, integrity, and availability of that, in this case, mobile device. So what you're seeing a lot, it goes around, you can see things in 2012, 2013, the digital government strategy, looking at providing services to the citizenry anywhere, anytime, from any location, right? From any device. And so a lot of that is what you're seeing today, is how can cybersecurity enable mobile technology to be used to enable to accomplish the mission. And so that's what we're seeing quite a bit today. Some of the research that we actually do in this area for mobile security is all about enabling the mission. So how can we look at the mission requirements, see what mobile technologies they need, and we're looking to, in our program, accelerate the adoption of secure mobile technologies that really aid the mission.
This is largely for all of us, or is this just for military and defense?
So ours is with HSARPA, Homeland Security Advanced Research Project Agency. This is about Cybersecurity Division. It's about protecting the Homeland Security Enterprise. So I would say it's all the above. Definitely, if we can get mobile security technologies that promote and help the citizenry, that's something we look to do. As we look at it, it's, you know, we protect the nation in the sense of our critical infrastructure, our mobile technologies, our financial pieces that we have associated. And so you're going to see that it's definitely, we look for enterprise organizations. A lot of the projects that we have in the mobile device security program is around how do we enable and support enterprise organizations, people who, you know, provide either a government or a corporate device to an employee. That's where we focus a lot of our energies to secure that. And then after that, you may have, you know, we have international partners, and we try to provide this to the global community in that regard so that these benefits that you get for an enterprise user, an organization, you also can, you know, translate that to everybody else who's using it.
Well, does this conflict at all with what's going on with at NSA?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I'm thinking specifically of the recent battle between the FBI and Apple and its iPhone about being able to get in the back door and get information. I mean, you're all about security, so
yeah.
Does this conflict at all with government wanting access to these phones?
So that one, it was actually the FBI, just to be clear. We actually do have partnerships with people at the fort because you'll see a lot of the requirements for security requirements on how we assure the supply chain, the integrity of the device. Is it secure with the right cryptography? That you'll find out of, you know, NSA, DOD, STIGS, you know, Security Technical Implementation Guides. We have partnerships across there to help enable that because we want security baselines that do that. But as you'll find, if you properly manage mobile devices, it is a government asset, a government-furnished equipment. You shouldn't have those problems that you saw in the news. Because you have the keys to the kingdom. It is your device. You have the ability to retrieve, you know, in this case, the key escrow to get access to your device. So if it's managed properly, you'll find that those, you know, what they happened in the news shouldn't be an issue. And so I would say that we don't have any conflict in that regard. We just look for, in this case, protecting, you know, the mobile device, the access for, you know, authorized users have access to that mobile device. You know, it's available when you need it, and we can ensure the integrity of that device as far as, you know, data isn't changed with unauthorized users. It's all authorized.
Okay, and you're doing some close work with Rutgers University, I understand, and they're helping you out a good deal. I understand some of the work that Rutgers has been doing in this regard is to being able to detect pretty early if someone is trying to tamper with the data that is not authorized. Is that part of this project?
Yes, to a certain degree. What you're going to see is that the research that we have here, and I do have Dr. Saman Zanuz with me on the call, and you're going to see that it's really about data isolation and the ability to ensure that, you know, personal data and work data do not mix. And what we've looked at for this core technology is actually at the operating system level where we have, you know, our own APIs, we have our own what they call capsules in this case, and a swirl technology to enable us to have fine-grained granular control. And so that it's not just all at the application layer. And so that's currently what we have in place. You'll see that we want to ensure the integrity so that we can say, hey, it came from the camera. I know that it was from this device, and I can assure that when I get that information, it wasn't tampered with, while also separating or isolating the data so that work data does not mingle with personal data. And you can do things like that through, different type of certificates in email, different pieces of that nature.
Well, of course, this also, begs the question about the problems that Hillary Clinton has had recently with her personal emails and that sort of thing being mixed up with what could be sensitive government emails when she was Secretary of State. Is that what's prompted this a program to be able to separate the stuff that is sensitive and the stuff that might be just frivolous?
Yeah, no. A lot of ours is not driven by political concerns or things in the news in that regard. A lot of what are we trying to do? It's all about protecting our cyber future, right? And that includes our mobile devices. So as we use this, we want to have the ability. You'll see, workers today having two devices, right? One for personal use and one for work use. And a lot of times we're trying to merge this experience or have only a one single device so that you can do what you need to and have accountability for your work, but also have this personal side, because there's a user expectation today where your mobile device is yours. And so what we try to get to a point where it's, it's corporately owned or government owned, but personally enabled. You'll see some of that, the last couple of years talking about this COPE model. By all means, our mobile device security research has been, our program, why we do it is actually spurred by the need. We've seen it in the mission. We have over 240,000 employees, 90,000 mobile devices, and we can't afford necessarily to give everybody a device. We deal with state, local, tribal, territorial folks, people who volunteer to help us with FEMA, people at the borders. And so we're trying to figure out how do we, in this case, enable our users to do what they need to do for work, but also give them the freedom and luxury to, in this case, also manage their personal life and pieces there, and do it in a responsible manner. So that's what we looked at our research and aimed towards achieving.
This seems like such a daunting challenge. I mean, I pick up your phone, the phone that's supplied to me for whatever particular reason it happens to be, and I am doing something that's highly classified, and then I want to be able to call my daughter to make sure that she's been safe at college. How do I separate the two? I mean, how does the phone do it for me automatically?
Yeah, so we don't, in all our projects, only deal with for official use only. At the highest level, it would be law enforcement sensitive. We don't deal with classified information. I will tell you, per policy, classified spills do occur, right? And what you'll see is mobile devices use solid-state media. And per commercial, Committee for National Security Systems, CNSS policy P17, if you had a spill on a solid state media, the current policy is to crush the device.
Oh.
And so, that's the state today. So I will tell you that, we don't do any of the high side stuff on what we do. If any of the security benefits we do at the unclassed level can be used for high side, then great, that's wonderful. But we do try to solve this at the, employee level. Because just look at a number of devices. How many mobile devices do you think are in the high side? You could probably count them in the thousands for probably the entire federal government. But when you think about it from, how many mobile devices that you have at the unclassed level, you're probably in the millions to tens of millions, if not more. So you got to think about it from the, if you have so many limited dollars for R&D, where are you going to have the biggest impact, and where are we going to have it so that we can accomplish our mission? And so that, law enforcement sensitive, in this case, we have regular employees, volunteers, emergency responders, all of those pieces are a part of our, departmental mission. And so that's where we actually try to have the biggest impact.
Well, Vincent, I know the Department of Homeland Security Science and Technology Directorate is going to be making a presentation to the engineers, the electrical engineers at the IEEE Homeland Security Technology Conference, and I wonder what will be the takeaway. What is it that you want your listeners to take away after they hear the presentation?
Well, I would say that, you know, we're DHS S&T, you know, our performers are doing, you know, a great job in the sense of we are pushing the envelope on what is possible. We are, you know, providing inputs and research and developing solutions that really are the cutting edge of what a mobile operating system can do. You'll see in with the Rutgers University, we have it with an Android device. In others like IBM and others, we actually have it with iOS, you know, Apple's device. So we actually try to reach that impact where you can actually have a mobile device, trust that it is secure, and be able to use it both for your personal use and your work use without having to, you know, worry about what's underneath the hood. The technology is there to serve you and serve your mission. And so I really think that, you know, with this HST conference with IEEE, you're going to see that there's new technologies out there to enable us to complete the, you know, and protect the Homeland Security enterprise.
Okay, great. Kind of put the thinking cap on for a minute and look down the road for us, maybe 5, 10, 20 years or so. Give us a view of where you see the future is going, either with this subject or with anything that we have facing us as a nation. Can you give us a picture of the future as you see it?
Sure. I mean, in the case of cybersecurity, and you know, this is a future, you know, so somewhat of an educated guess here. I would say that in this case, we're dealing with mobile today. Mobile payments and the security of that will be an issue going forward because we're using it for, you know, whether it's payment of buying something online or using it at a Starbucks to buy a coffee or Apple Pay and Google Wallet. Those are going to be an issue. The other aspects of when we move into the Internet of Things, the different sensors going forward, all of those pieces actually provide new vulnerabilities to our critical infrastructure, to our enterprise resources, and so all the challenges we have in mobile, I think those are going to be expounded upon both at the Internet of Things and next generation networks, whether that be 5G. You're going to see that we need to protect, you know, the device, in this case the asset endpoint. We need to protect it at the application layer, whether that be mobile application security in the future. And that includes things like secure payment, things of that nature, but and IoT and what applications run on Internet of Things. But then later on, you're going to see, you know, mobile networks, how we do this. You know, speeds are increasing. Problems that we may have had in 3G and 2G or 4G LTE, those just get, you know, exponential when we get to 5G. And so solving some of those problems are going to definitely be within the next, you know, 5 to 10 years as we move forward and go on.
So cybersecurity is not something that's going to be solved and we can forget about it. It's going to be an ongoing thing we're going to have to look forward to be contending with maybe the rest of our national natural existence. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, it's more and more a connected world. And so, you know, how we get our power, how we get our water, how we communicate with others. I mean, at some homes, you can think of it as if you didn't have internet, it's almost like you didn't have, you know, food at home for some people because they just don't have connectivity. So you'll see that, you know, we are more and more connected. This will be more available to everybody as we go forward, both the speed and capability and functionality. And what you're going to find is that, you know, securing that, whether that be data privacy or any of the other aspects of, you know, is the information being provided actually, you know, true and accurate, those are going to be aspects of, you know, I need to keep it confidential, it's regularly for everybody, but that's all a part of cybersecurity going forward.
All right. Well, it's great. Our government is looking to these things and understanding these problems and helping us out with it, because that's a very vital thing as we move forward, and we're moving forward whether we want to move forward or not.
And I'll just say that it is a collective effort. It's not just government doing pieces or writing policy. You know, the people who own the critical infrastructure, people who own, you know, the development and the device manufacturing, these are the ISPs of the world, the telcos. These are, you know, different Apple, Samsung, whoever the device manufacturer is. I mean, all of those pieces, you know, it's going to be a collaborative effort going forward. There's and even the research community, you know, academia, small business, all of those are going to actually, you know, need to be working together. In this case, DHS S&T looks to make strategic investments and try to push the envelope forward. If industry can do it, then that's great, but definitely we try to do our part to protect the Homeland Security enterprise for the future.
Okay, Vincent, I know that during the course of your growth, you've been mentored by people, and I know that you're probably called upon to mentor people too. Do you have a word of wisdom for us, maybe words to live by, some sort of credo that maybe we can pass on to students or other people that as we move through life? How about a word of wisdom for us before we get out of here?
Sure. One of my mentors told me, you know, luck is really, there's no such thing as luck is when opportunity meets preparation. And so, you know, always be prepared and look for opportunities as it goes forward. You know, you'll find that you may plan and try to excel as you look for it. But as you prepare and you work hard, new opportunities come forward. And it doesn't matter if it's in cyber or any other field, you know, you make smart decisions and prepare. Do your best. And those opportunities, when they come, you'll be ready for them, and you'll advance and excel going forward.
Okay. Vincent Stridipan, the Mobile Security R&D Program Manager for Cybersecurity Division at the Homeland Security Advanced Research Project Agency, the Department of Homeland Security, Science and Technology. You've been a wonderful guest. We appreciate you being with us today. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Also, if you want to find out more information on the IEEE Homeland Security Technology Conference coming up in May, which Vincent Stridipan is going to be speaking, you can also see that at the same website, just to the right-hand side of your screen. You'll see a link to that conference, and we'll tell you all about it. In the next half hour, we have Dr. Praveen Chipote. He's going to expand a little bit on micro-community detection and vulnerability identification for large critical networks. So we're going to get a little bit more in-depth view on that. He's working a project funded by the Department of Defense entitled A Novel Framework for Community Detection in Large Networks. And, of course, we're going to check in with the Fountain of Useless Information. Who is Joe Friday, huh? Who's Joe Friday? That's going to be the question that we're going to pose to the Fountain and see if he knows. Of course, now he's been tipped off, so he's got time to think about it. And you too, of course. And there's an interesting story out of India. It seems scientists in India, China, and Japan have put their heads together and done some research historically and taking samples of observations of the sun and are predicting a mini ice age. That's fascinating in the fact that we hear so much about global warming, and it seems to be a foregone conclusion by many scientists that we are in global warming, we have global warming, but they say, well, no, not really. They say historically, looking at cycles by the sun, that there are sunspots, and that they kind of regulate our climate here on Earth, and we've got a little mini ice age coming up. So we're gonna give some coverage to that. Of course, this whole global warming thing is so controversial. We know that there are 8 greenhouse gases, not just CO2. CO2 seems to be the one that we can control, and of course there's all this concern about how it's polluting our oceans with all this CO2 because we're emitting all this incredible amount of CO2. And but, you know, flatulence, you know, methane is a bigger greenhouse gas than CO2, and we're doing nothing to control that. Also, critics of this story coming out of India with the mini ice age that's coming has kind of pointed out that India, China, and Japan all like to burn a lot of coal. And so they might be fudging the science a little bit like that to legitimize the fact that they're burning a lot of coal. Anyway, all that's coming up in the next half hour, so we hope you stick around with this because we like your company. Okay. Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all the wisdom of mankind. In the Den of Strangers, will we meet today?
Jules Renard, the only man who is really free, is the one who can turn down an invitation to dinner without giving an excuse.